Chapter 43. Breaking Cover. It had taken most of a year, but the relentless manhunt had finally flushed its target out into the open. The wanted man had covered his tracks well, but nobody could vanish completely. Not if the one on his trail was truly persistent. Though in the end, as was often the case for fugitives on the run, it had not been a mistake by the target that had led to his downfall, but betrayal by his closest friend and ally. "And by your boss," Mufei pointed out for the third time. "Un is the one who's really behind this, you know. I just agreed that it was a good idea to get it over with." Despite his excellent argument, Mufei still got hit with a glare that could peel paint. "Traitor." Mufei rolled his eyes. "Grow up, Yui. Rolina only wants to see you for a bit. She's been bugging Un nonstop for almost a year." "Useless risk," Hiro grunted, while the aggressive slant of his shoulders said, "Then why couldn't she hold out another?" "What can you do?" Mufei said philosophically, answering the silent objection rather than the vocalized one. "Un did stand her ground for as long as she could, hoping the fool woman would get the hint. But once budget time rolled around, Minister Darlin suddenly had leverage, and you were nothing but a bargaining chip." Hiro's answer, vocal and otherwise, was cut short by the door at the end of the hallway opening. "Be polite, Yui," Wufei hissed, taking a step back. "Remember, we have our own meeting in 10 minutes. You can stand it for that long." "Hiro!" "I hope," Wufei added mentally, noting with interest and a faint sympathy the unlikely clench in Hiro's frame. This from the man who'd been perfectly relaxed 3 days ago when facing down a maniac armed with a submachine gun. "Rolina." The armed maniac had also gotten a nicer welcome. "Was this really necessary?" That got him a double-barreled glare of warning from both Wufei and Un, looking right over Rolina's shoulder. Rolina's smile widened. "It wouldn't be if you returned my messages or came to see me in Sank from time to time." "The risk." "I know, I know. Which is why I'm meeting you here." Rolina dimpled and gestured around the stolid walls of Preventer HQ. That's when she caught sight of Wufei. "Agent Chang, I'm so happy to see you again, too."
"Minister."
"Call me Rolina, please." Her sweet and highly mediatic smile covered him almost as warmly as it had Hiro, to his surprise. "I understand you only have a few minutes."
Hiro's shoulders relaxed a fraction. "There you go," Wufei silently told him. "See? Not so bad."
"Correct."
"Talking of risks and not taking any, I'm staying at the extremely secured Regency. It's under full Preventer control, and they've booked the whole upper floor and a private dining room for the ministerial staff. We can't talk in the middle of a hallway, so I'll see you there this evening at 6 for dinner."
Surprise tightened Hiro's jaw for an extremely rare second. A precious second. If he'd managed to snarl out an immediate no, it would have stopped Rolina from putting the nail in the coffin by turning that lovely smile back to Wufei and adding,
"And you are invited as well, Agent Chang. Please do come."
Wufei stared at her. At her and Un hovering over Rolina's shoulder like a premonition of doom. Well played. Hiro would have refused point blank given the chance, but Wufei's ingrained propriety could not. He also had a better grasp of the politics involved. Faced with the civilian representative of the public he served, there was only so much rudeness a Preventer should allow himself. Strategic applications of untruths, however, were another matter.
"The problem, Minister, is that our schedules are very tight." He knew it was one more step into the trap from the way Rolina's smile widened and Un frowned.
"I have already checked," their commander informed them with military precision. "You are both free." She was scowling now. A few curious bystanders who'd poked their heads over their cubicle walls in the room beyond suddenly retreated like gophers spotting a winged shadow.
"Then I guess we'll be delighted," Wu Fei said mildly. We will, said the quiet core of hostility at his side. We'll have to be, answered the faint shrug rippling Wu Fei's shoulders as he let Relina pass through the hallway. Un followed her, half turned as she went by, and mouthed, Behave! Easy for her to say, Hiro growled beneath his breath. She's been dealing with politicians she is not allowed to arrest or even intimidate for almost a month now, Wu Fei whispered, watching them leave. This is the first year in which the preventers have been fiscally evaluated on par with another government agency, now that the state of emergency has been lifted over so many countries. Compared to our commander's political obstacle course of the past few weeks, she won't consider having a short dinner at the Regency to be any big deal. I tend to agree with her. Glare. Come on, it won't be so bad. Not if Relina had invited them both spontaneously. This couldn't be some roundabout way of getting Hiro alone for some fool notion of... Not if she invited the preventer partner along. Right. She just wants to catch up. Touch base. Make sure you're okay. The more relaxed and polite you are, the better she will rest assured. And then you won't have to see her again until next budget season. You'll do the talking. If need be, you just grunt and put in the occasional inane question. I hear the food at the Regency is some of the best in Brussels. That newfangled fusion kind. So it will be healthy and digestible, at least. And we'll be leaving at 7 to go home and get some rest. We have to get up early for that surveillance duty tomorrow. What surveillance duty? Sam wants us training Team Echo 9. You got it. Just let me do the talking and it will be painless. The coil of tension at his side relaxed a fraction. Then Hiro shook himself and glanced at his watch. It's 1400 hours. Let's go see Greco. We have an excuse to get out of this meeting early, too. Oh? We are going to the Regency. I am personally vetting security there before tonight. Fair enough. The Regency's private dining room, right off the penthouse suite, was large enough to host dinner for a small convention. It was a pleasant, albeit bland, room, well lit with chandeliers and a set of French windows leading out onto the balcony off to one side. Hiro gave them a long, measuring look, but as the lace curtains were drawn, it wasn't as if a sniper would get a pot shot through them. Relax, Wu Fei sighed, then glanced at his watch. 5 minutes late. Women. But that meant they only had to stay 55 minutes now. Wu Fei took a sip of his glass of fizzy water from an untampered bottle opened in front of him by a puzzled waitress who was too professional and upscale to inquire or object. Hiro hadn't gotten anything at all. Wu Fei wondered if he'd even put a bite in his mouth once dinner was served. At least it would be fast and relatively painless. It wasn't as if Relina had any underhanded motives. Not if she'd invited Wu Fei as well. The double doors on the far side of the room opened. Hiro, sorry we're late. She's a woman, Wu Fei reminded himself with acid clarity. She's got a long-standing crush on the man, and she's a politician. Three very good reasons for her to be far more adept at underhanded than I could ever be. Hiro had stiffened in surprise and in reaction to Wu Fei's own tension. Relina, Wu Fei said, working hard to keep his voice neutral. And Miss Catalonia. What an unexpected surprise. Charmed, said Dorothy from across the room. We've been completely outmaneuvered, Wu Fei thought, with intense self-recrimination, raking over their respective outfits. Relina was dressed with a hint of conservative grace, but the skirt and small jacket ensemble was the outfit of a more mature woman rather than the professional suits she usually favored. Pale cream, cut with decorum that could still reveal enough to get the point across. While Dorothy Catalonia, in what appeared to be a black leather skirt, strapless top, and matching clutch purse, was simply dressed to kill. Figuratively, if not literally. Though, considering who was involved, it was worth making that distinction. The The girls were waylaid before they took more than 3 steps into the room by the waitress who proffered her tray.
Rolina blinked.
Oh, I didn't order. I did, Dorothy said, grabbing a glass that had liquor, neat, written all over it.
Wufei could judge, even from the 15 feet that was still separating them. The Regency, like most high-class joints, long used to Rumfeller rule, had heard about the legal drinking age and decided it was too bourgeoisie to concern them.
And a non-alcoholic Mai Tai for you, dear. Though I'm sure they can make something non-virgin if you want it.
This will be fine, Rolina said with a smile of thanks to the waitress.
Wufei wondered if Rolina had missed some innuendo there, or if he was looking way too hard now.
Catalonia's been vetted, Hiro sat at Wufei's side, speaking almost sub-vocally. He'd obviously picked up on Wufei's tension, though not, of course, the cause. Wufei sighed internally.
Remember, we leave at 7, he mouthed, half turning to keep his face away from the advancing eastern front. For the record, I am sorry.
Hiro's eyebrows twitched in surprise, but he didn't have time to say anything. The enemy had crossed the border and was surrounding them.
Hiro, it's so nice to see you, Rolina said, eyes only on him and thus completely missing the cold glare from Wufei.
Dorothy oiled up, slipped an arm through his, and turned him towards the window.
Chang Wufei, it's been ages. Come on, if you've never been here, you've got to see the view.
My God, they're not even trying to be subtle, Wufei thought with a front.
Dorothy's arm tugged.
Come on, she purred, very low. I bet you guys can't stay long, am I right? So let's get this moving. There's a movie I want to catch at 8 in the entertainment center downstairs.
Wufei gave her a look and didn't move.
Dorothy's smirk grew, Rolina's starting barrage of banalities behind them covering her aide's low murmur.
Are you two joined at the hip? Come on. Your friend is old enough to not need a chaperone.
Damn it. But of course she had a point. Wufei let himself be pulled away from his besieged comrade, despite Foxwood's oft-repeated instruction to never leave a mate behind. He'd be apologizing again before the end of the night. He was the one who was supposed to be on lookout for these situations. He'd talked Hiro into this. He thought he was doing the right thing, letting Rolina lay some old ghosts to rest, right? So play it or fight, as the partners would say. Play it was the only viable option, really. But this was the last time Hiro would ever meet the damned woman if Wufei had anything to say on the matter. Next time Un tried to rally the troops with a once more onto the breach, he'd be on Hiro's side. Politeness and politics be damned. Dorothy opened the balcony window and stepped outside. Wufei cast a last glance over his shoulder. Hiro had instinctively taken Rolina by the elbow and moved her around so she was no longer in line of sight. Wufei caught a glimpse of her face as she turned, the radiant, pleased expression at the unexpected contact that might have looked like a chivalrous move to one side so they could talk undisturbed. 10 minutes ago, that look would have gotten Wufei's pity. Not anymore. No. Now he raked Catalonia up and down in the evening light, trying to decide if she was Rolina's wingman, which would be coldly calculating and irritating, or Wufei's blind date, which would be ignominious and downright insulting. Just how mad was Wufei going to have to be?
There we go.
Dorothy leaned against the balcony's railing, her little purse under her arm.
Isn't that an amazing view?
Wufei didn't spare a glance.
I've seen it.
How gallant.
What?
Aren't you implying that the view is old hat, whereas looking at me is a whole new and more interesting experience? Dorothy's grin said clearly that she knew the difference between an admiring look and a caustic glare, and was enjoying tweaking his nose with it.
Oh, relax, Chang. Have a drink. A real one. Because I'm ready to bet that's not gin in your mug.
You should try the Talisker they have here. Aged 18 years. My father would never drink anything else.
She gestured towards her own glass she'd deposited on a small metallic table near the banister. Two metal garden chairs were pulled up suggestively near it, and would fall to rust before Wufei availed himself of their invitation to sit down and admire the view of Brussels' old town center at Dorothy's side.
I'm fine.
Don't drink on duty, huh? I didn't mean your preventer duty, which ends at 5, though I notice you're both still in uniform. But nanny duty lasts forever. Trust me, I've been there. But the kiddies are playing nicely together, so we can let our hair down while keeping an eye on the sandbox.
The tone and smirk forbade Wufei from doing what he wanted to do, which was to glance back to the room.
I see your finishing school lessons in manipulation have not gone to waste, Wufei commented, refusing to play the game. Her forked eyebrows twitched at his forthrightness.
Far from it. As Relina's aide in Sank, I am working in the political arena all the time. I ply the winds between ESUN and old Romfeller factions, so I like to keep my wits sharpened at every opportunity.
And what are you going to do about it? Added her cozy smile.
I recommend you tone it down a touch.
Her smile widened at his clipped words.
Why ever should I?
Because you are talking to someone in a bad mood who can get your clearance level revoked with 2 phone calls and 1 set of forms.
Her eyes narrowed, and there was a faint movement of fingers at her clutch purse that sent Wufei's instincts twitching. She wouldn't...
I see. You've not changed since the good old days of blowing things up rather than using finesse.
Fine. Let's give up the pretense and watch this play out then.
Come and park a hip over here, she added, jerking a thumb at the banister next to her.
Just don't interfere. There are times when the best thing a friend can do is back off and let a buddy crash and burn on their own.
Was she talking about Hero or Relina here?
She grinned at Wufei, who had neither moved nor unbent.
It's like he really is your charge. Being friends and partners doesn't give you proprietary interest, you know. Stop hovering and relax. From the way she's stumbling around in there, this could take a while.
Dorothy was angled to get a fairly decent view of Relina, and could probably read lips, too.
Wufei glanced around. He could only see a slice of the minister from here.
Relina had one hand on Hiro's arm and an earnest look to her frame.
Really? I give it 1 minute.
Hiro stared at Relina, comprehension widening his eyes. Then his lips shaped the words, "Sorry, not interested."
Wufei could just imagine the curt tone that delivered them.
But Relina's hand fluttered again, undeterred. She must have come ready for a fight.
Right attitude, wrong war, Ms. Peacecraft, Wufei thought, sipping his water.
Relina would now be asking why not, and she was about to get a fairly impregnable 3-word answer in return.
Dorothy was arguably right, Wufei had to concede. Hiro did not need his help or involvement.
On cue, he saw Hiro drop the bombshell. The Virgin Mai Tai ended up on the carpet, some of it splashing onto the dress.
Dorothy hadn't seen what Hiro had said. She was angled to better catch Relina's expression.
She stiffened, and her hand twitched towards her purse again.
Wufei leaned forward to get a glimpse. He could only see a slice of profile, but it showed him Relina's eyes were wide. So was her mouth.
Again, Wufei would have felt more sympathetic if this had happened in the Preventer HQ after her 1 o'clock with Un, rather than in the midst of this ambush. The manipulative chit deserved both the shock and the awfully silly look spreading over her face right now.
Hypocritical much?
An inner voice with an L2 twang sniggered.
You probably didn't look all that brighter 2 weeks ago when he dropped the same bombshell on you, pal.
Though Wufei's warrior reflexes meant he hadn't have covered himself in Mai Tai. No, his spilled tea had landed mostly in the saucer.
Your what?
Wufei croaked. The rattle of porcelain sounded dim through the ringing of his ears. Hiro looked up from his work laid out on the kitchen counter. I said I'm gay.
It was tempting to call it a joke. Lame and weird, but Hiro was still sitting through Humor 101 and often skipped class.
Wu Fei himself had been delivering a self-deprecating prod in his own direction when he described one of his recent conversations with Winner as the commiseration of two straight men not quite sure how they got hooked up with one bisexual and two uncategorized. It'd been the latter label that had led to Hiro dropping the bombshell. Not that he seemed to think it was one.
This is a surprise to you? He asked dryly.
We never actually talked about it. Not about your... Hiro glanced down at the circuits he was wiring. He'd picked up a new hobby in the last few months. He was inventing new circuit boards and computer hardware systems. It had started when he'd decided to put together an utterly tamper-proof anti-bugging security system. Then he'd gone on to improving and toying with other things. Wufei couldn't see the attraction, but he suspected Hiro felt the same way about Wufei's interest in the rise of neo-legalism in the 22nd century Korean conglomerate. Wufei stared at the green plastic mottled with red and yellow circuits, and was intensely glad, out of the blue, that he could be absolutely guaranteed that no snoop was watching him, and the expression he must have on his face right now. He took a sip of tea on the heel of that thought, causing the cup to mask his unsettled countenance. The circuit wasn't what was holding Hiro's interest. He seemed to be looking inward.
It never occurred to me to think about it until this past year.
There was a whole conversation there, a subset of one that had been ongoing these past 6 months, and that touched on many topics. Difficult and daunting at first, but getting easier as time went on. A dozen delicate negotiations, establishing new rules to their arrangement. Safer ways of letting off steam. Other ways to still hone their edge against each other. A new construct made of safe zones and no-go zones, and small places to hide in together. It wound around their job and their lives and their routines. It ornamented their house in much the same way the large bed dominated their bedroom. And it had changed them by increment. It never occurred to Hiro that he was anything until somewhat recently, because before that, he'd never even thought to question an aspect of himself he would otherwise consider less than trivial.
"But you're sure?" Wufei asked, before he could run that question past his better judgment. "It is a surprise to you."
Hiro looked at him curiously.
"We've lived together for a year and a half now, and screwed each other for longer than that. Why are you surprised I'm gay?"
"But that doesn't count," Wufei objected immediately, obscurely relieved for reasons he couldn't fathom. "Any more than Winner and I can be said to... These things just happened. Pressures of the war are totally unique circumstances. That doesn't define someone's sexuality."
"Yes, you're probably right." Hiro picked up a transistor with a microgrip. "That doesn't."
The tea was getting colder an inch from Wufei's mouth.
"Are you saying you'd be interested in men even without... I mean, even if..."
The transistor ended up aligned with something else Wufei didn't recognize.
"Any of us? The same, umbrella applies. The five of us. Our genders hardly mattered in that context. They wouldn't really count either."
"Correct," Hiro said softly. "They're friends." That single soft word was loaded. Friends, emotional lodestones, constants in a changeable world, anchors. But not, from a faint nuance in the way he said it, objects of attraction.
"So it wasn't one of them you were thinking about?"
"Thinking about?" Hiro asked distractedly, eyeing the circuit he was building.
"If you've recently realized you're, attracted to your own gender, that does rather imply you have been attracted to someone of your own gender. Recently. Outside of our little group."
Hiro glanced up.
"I did..."
There was what could be described as a short, sharp silence. But fortunately, it did not last. Things had changed a lot in the past few months. A great deal indeed. So instead of missing the import of the question altogether, or switching off his feelings and walking away, Hiro just hunkered down and asked, "How much trouble am I in right now?" Wu Fei found himself rather disarmed in spite of himself. "I'm not going to hold you accountable for noticing someone, just the physical side. Who exactly?"
"I'm thinking I should keep that to myself," Hiro said slowly. He was not only the best soldier the human race had ever produced, but an exceedingly fast learner as well.
"I just said I wasn't going to hold you accountable for... You may be right."
Wu Fei went to dump his cold tea in the sink and wash his cup. A true scholar should think himself privileged to learn something new. That Hiro had managed such a journey of inner self-discovery was breathtaking. So many changes in the past year, and in the past few months. Truly. Wu Fei had also changed. He had, perforce, learned to be more honest with himself, even with emotionally charged subjects. Yes, he was genuinely pleased on many levels to see his partner change, develop enough self-awareness to come to this realization, and feel comfortable enough to share it. At the same time, Wu Fei was making an inner list of every male acquaintance between the ages of 16 and 60 and tallying them in a way that did him very little credit indeed. Jealousy, Chang? Really? This he needed like a round of Oz interrogations. But he didn't tamp it down. He didn't try to deny it. Might as well fight this devil head on.
"It should be me."
"Hmm? What?" Wu Fei glanced over his shoulder as he put the cup and saucer in the drainer. Hiro had turned from his circuits, elbows back against the table, looking at him as if he were peering down a rifle scope.
"If there was one of us who should feel uneasy here, it should be me."
"You? You think I would... would..." If this was this ridiculous notion that Wu Fei was unnaturally close to Catra again, it'd taken almost a month for Hiro to stop scowling at their friend each time the latter called Wu Fei.
"You pointed it out just now. You are straight."
"Oh, that's what he meant."
"So?" Wu Fei asked.
Hiro frowned. That had apparently not been the response he'd expected. Wu Fei leaned against the sink, unconsciously mirroring Hiro's pose.
"As I started to say earlier, just noticing someone is not an issue as long as it doesn't distract us, and I hardly think we are at risk of that. We've got enough focus between us to build a good dozen lasers. Beyond that, I suppose it doesn't really matter, right?"
Wu Fei hurled that at his little inner demons, which slouched off in defeat. For now. He was still going to be hyper-aware of any male Hiro looked at twice for the next, oh, decade or two. But he was surely not alone in that respect. It was a good bet that most of the human race, from the lowest dog to the highest philosopher, had struggled with this issue at one time or another.
"But..."
Wu Fei had been turning to get the dish towel. He'd not expected a but, especially not by itself, stranded in a rare moment of something like hesitation. Hiro's head had dipped, and his eyes were hidden behind the fall of his hair. His body language was odd, loosely poised like a teenage terrorist had once been when he'd calmly reached for a red button with no thought of self at all. Wu Fei frowned.
"What? This isn't suddenly a concern, is it?"
Silence. Stillness. Wu Fei sniffed. "Your powers of observation may not be as fine-honed as mine, but I'm pretty sure you've noticed that, even if I might find women attractive, I don't actually like them all that much."
"You get along fine with our fellow agents."
"Of course, they've proven themselves. But that's got nothing to do with attraction." Wu Fei had never had the luxury, the opportunity, or lack of self-discipline, to truly explore his own beleaguered sexuality. And maybe that was why Hiro's straightforward admission earlier had perturbed him a bit. It had made him feel oddly immature and repressed. But he was quite sure he was fundamentally attracted to women, and equally sure that he was not attracted to any of the excellent agents, female or otherwise, whose life he protected with his own, just as they protected his. They just didn't enter into the same framework in his mind. Mutually exclusive. But Hiro was still a pool of odd silence, expression hidden.
Ch, what? You think I might meet some female paragon one day? Someone who would attract me both on a physical and emotional level?
It could happen, was the completely neutral reply. Apparently, Wufei was not going to be allowed to lighten the mood or saunter away from this ridiculous question. He scratched the base of his ponytail, turning that over in his mind. As well as a faint sense of wonder that they were even having this conversation in the first place. Half a year ago, they would have sooner reached the Mars colony in a rowboat than get to this point in a Sunday morning discussion over tea and protein bars. Yes, it's a far-fetched notion, but as we have proven repeatedly during the war, nothing is impossible. A woman who could meet and match my passion for justice, who'd know what it was to battle and burn for it, who'd not hamper me with weakness but exalt my strength. Someone highly intelligent, dedicated, but who could still laugh and enjoy the finer things in life. And though I am not superficial, I wouldn't mind her pretty, petite, and Asian as well, to really make her my ideal woman. Hiro hadn't moved.
Yes, if you met someone like that, I would not.
I already have, Wufei snorted. 6 months ago. She tried to kill me, remember? That finally got Hiro to look him in the eye. A startled flash of blue, quickly melting into anger.
That's not... How can you say that? That Wu woman was a menace.
Granted, though on the face of it, she would have been perfect. But no matter, I know what you mean. A true companion. More than just attraction. You're talking about a give and take of emotional support, I presume. You think I could find someone who'd not only put up with me and my issues, but even... keep up with me? Help me become a better man? A better warrior? Is that it?
Yes. Someone who hasn't tried to kill you. Hiro ground out.
What? Not even a little bit? As collateral damage, maybe?
Colt, isn't not trying to kill you the minimum you'd expect?
No. Sounds unreasonably picky to me. Wufei shrugged, heading towards the stairs. If I went with that criteria for this soulmate you seem keen on inventing for me, I wouldn't currently be living with him right now.
What?
Wufei glanced back to say something else. What it was, he would never be able to quite remember. He'd prefer to remember that sliver of a look he caught on Hiro's face. It was just a flash before his features settled to their customary neutral again. Wufei still had to catch him off guard to see what the deep inner currents hid. Maybe Hiro had to catch himself off guard, too, come to think of it. But that glimpse? Hiro's eyes flicked away, towards the teapot still on their small stove.
I'm a man, though.
I quite noticed that, thank you. But if life were perfect, there would be no need for preventer agents and Gundam pilots. I still need to get dressed. I'm driving over to Sam's in a few minutes. I have some more papers to pick up for the Adams case. Want to come along? We could grab an early lunch at that Vietnamese place. I'll fill in the forms once we get back home and hand them in tomorrow. A lessening of fires across the Earth sphere in conjunction with more oversight meant that the preventers had also changed by increment in the past half year. For one, Wufei had discovered there were still such a thing as weekends out there, and that the two agents were expected to take them. This had led to a conspiracy of working at home, among the specials, Katra. But in truth, there were less and less reasons to kill themselves with overtime these days, or even to get shot at all that often. There were still regular firefights, but a good number of their office hours were now dedicated to normal casework, surveillance and training other teams. Lessening the work week to a mere 60 hours had given rise to Hiro's new hobby,
and other changes. The restlessness Wu Fei had expected had still not arisen as of yet. The only spillover so far had been an increased usage of the weapons range, the tool shop, the dojo floor and punching bag, and the bed. Wu Fei leaned back from the stairwell for an answer. Hiro was still staring into space. Wu Fei did the low whistle they used on recon. Hiro blinked and looked up. He stared at Wu Fei for much longer than culinary considerations required. Then he gave that quirk of the lips, whose geometry had also evolved since the war, and in this past half year. Give it another decade and it would be a real smile, Wu Fei thought, with an inner snort that failed to be entirely condemning. Hiro turned to the kitchen table and unplugged the soldering torch. I'll be ready by the time you come back down.
Good.
Back in the present, Wu Fei remembered that angular, nearly smile. He remembered that glimpse of a look. He remembered that he damn well did have a proprietary interest. Miss Catalonia, you are currently employed by ESUN, correct? Dorothy blinked at the crisp inquiry.
Yes?
This floor of the Regency is reserved for ESUN functions, and under their purview for security measures while the minister is in residence. As per Directive 18B on search and perquisitions, I am allowed to inspect the contents of any bag or container about your person without a warrant.
Huh? Hey!
But it was too late. Wu Fei had extracted the clutch purse from her hands. He dodged her clawed swipe, opened it, and dumped its contents onto the little metal table.
Why, you!
Nothing immediately jumped out. Had he been wrong? No. He reached for the little cylinder.
What's this?
Perfume,
Dorothy told him, teeth bared as if to bite. She blanched and flinched back as he swung it up towards her face. Really? From the way the canister is sealed to the valve, I'd say this perfume is under extremely high pressure. Do you mist it on your skin or spray it over a perimeter? Wu Fei lowered it and expertly cracked the canister out.
It's mace and not illegal,
Dorothy said aristocratically, chin up. But I'm afraid it is, since this doesn't have any label indicating strength or provenance. That is required in the European Union, I'm afraid.
Oh!
Tell you what, I'll confiscate it and we'll let it slide, Wu Fei said, slipping it into his uniform's front breast pocket. He dropped the perfume propellant valve back onto the table and then stalked back into the room. Rolina had only just gotten over the initial spluttering stages.
But, I mean, are you sure? That just seems so sudden. I just want you to be happy, Hiro.
Rolina gave Wu Fei a wall-eyed look as he drew up level with Hiro. Wu Fei silently handed her the napkin the waitress had given him with his glass and bottle. Rolina looked at it as if she had never seen one before in her life. You spilled your drink. Wu Fei gestured towards the pink stripe down one side of the cream-colored skirt.
Oh, right. Thank you. Sorry, Agent. Wu Fei, could Hiro and I have a moment?
What for? Red dots had appeared on her face.
We were having a private conversation, which doesn't involve you.
Wrong thing to say. It does.
What? No, we were just... I'm sorry, Dorothy?
Don't look at me, Dorothy said. She trailed in after him, stuffing her belongings back into her purse. I think they're both thugs and a waste of our time. Wu Fei smiled. Rolina boggled at her, then gave Hiro a longing look.
Please, Hiro, can we... We should discuss this.
Really? What is there more to say? Wu Fei ground out. Rolina finally straightened and flashed a bit of what Wu Fei thought of as a Catalonia look.
I'm sorry, but I decline to answer you when you speak to me in that tone. What can this possibly have to do with you?
That again. Fine. Hiro? Hiro had picked up the glass and was looking around.
either for a place to put it or for more napkins to dab up the stain on the carpet. He looked around in surprise at being dragged back into the conversation.
Yes?
I am going to have to spell it out for her. Do you mind? Hiro gave him the look of a man who'd been mostly at sea with all this since 2 o'clock this afternoon. But he nodded. Not a nod of agreement, per se. More a, you obviously know what's going on here, so take point and I'll provide fire support. The sound of purse rummaging behind them stopped abruptly. Spell out what? Dorothy asked sharply. Ms. Peacecraft, Hiro and I have been living together for well over a year now. We're partners. Domestic partners. So if he says he's not interested, please pick up the hint. We'd both appreciate it. Catalonia said something under her breath that was more a credit to her time spent with the armed forces on the Libra than her finishing school. Rolina gave a hiccup.
Wait, said the snake at their backs, with a growing smirk Wufei could feel between his shoulder blades.
So you work as a unit and you also fuck? Is that legal?
Wufei half turned towards her. We are not military, nor in a chain of command, so fraternization rules do not apply. Our commander is aware of the situation and has not raised any concerns.
Really? I wonder if she's mentioned that to internal affairs, though. Maybe I...
Dorothy cut herself off as Wufei idly tapped a finger against his breast pocket.
Fine, Dorothy said poisonously. Rolina, let's go to the kitchen and get some seltzer water before that sets in.
She reached between them, grabbed her friend's unresisting arm, and spirited her away. Rolina was still staring straight ahead as she vanished through the door. Wufei let his hackles settle and glanced at Hiro. My apologies. That got out of hand.
Hiro was silent, staring at the door for 5 long seconds, the empty Mai Tai glass still in his hands.
I don't think I really understood any of this. Wufei winced. Yes, I'm sorry. I should have asked you. But I think I liked it.
Hiro concluded slowly. There was that small, nearly there smile on his mouth again, as he leaned forward a tad towards Wufei, making the latter blink in surprise.
I'm not good at nuance, Hiro said softly. It all sounded polite, but their reaction indicates...
That was polite enough in the circumstances. She tried to set me up with the Catalonia woman. She's lucky I didn't put her in an arm lock and march her out of here.
Hiro straightened up abruptly. She what?
Blame me for not seeing this coming. Women, I swear...
Hiro dropped the glass into a nearby potted plant and marched towards the door. We're leaving.
No, that would be a bit too rude.
And he was damned if he was the one quitting the field and running away.
Rude? Are we staying until 7?
No, I give it 10 minutes.
What?
At that point, the warmongering friend of hers, or possibly someone on the Regency's staff, will pop back in here saying the minister can't get the stain out and has a headache or something. And could she please have a rain check? All sides will agree to give it to her, and both sides will plan to have it on this side of never.
Really?
Hiro was looking at him as if he was a magician, which made Wufei grimace. That's what I think would happen, but with those crazy women, who can tell?
Do we have to wait?
Hiro was still halfway to the door, giving it a look usually reserved for suspects. He hadn't been all that agitated by Rolina's attempts at whatever it was she thought she was doing, but the blind date side of things seemed to have left him seething beneath the steely control and neutral mask. Wufei's mood had vastly improved since aiming the mace at Dorothy's smirk. Now it got even better for reasons he decided he did not have to investigate too closely.
Un did ask us to behave. 10 minutes.
There was a knock at the door 9 minutes and 10 seconds later. Wufei had to remind himself once more that he did not fundamentally understand women. At least, not that kind of woman. There weren't many like her, though. Rolina stood there in jeans and a simple blouse. There were 2 red spots on her cheeks still, and her eyes looked a tad puffy, But her smile was back. The real one that had been pretty much absent until now. "Let's start this again," she said without preamble. "I apologize. I made assumptions. But I am happy to hear you've found... that you have both found a safe place to birth. That's how you pilots say it, right? Can we... may we have that dinner anyway, please? As friends?"
Mufei looked from her to Catalonia, who had also unexpectedly shown up at Relina's shoulder.
"I'm just here for moral support," Dorothy said.
"Oh, what are you packing this time?"
"I stole a steak knife from the kitchen."
What? Said Hiro and Relina at much the same time, but in somewhat different tones.
"Nothing. Inside joke,"
Dorothy said, with a flesh-eating smile and her eyes fixed on Wufei.
"Think I'm up for this dinner after all, Relina. It'll be fun. Shall we?"
It did turn out to be entertaining. Wufei and Dorothy spent the hors d'oeuvres and entree trading small barbs and sparring over various political and philosophical issues, while Dorothy quartered her meat as if it opposed her dubious dreams of conquest in the name of peace. Hiro and Relina sat opposite each other, listening to their fellow diners with something like morbid fascination at times, at others exchanging a few words. Wufei didn't listen. This time it really was none of his business. He'd hoped they'd hammer something out, if it was possible between people on both sides of such a wide gulf. At least a tentative peace. It was their jobs, after all. Eventually, Relina remembered that, and keel-hauled the conversation away from whatever war was brewing between the two people she'd presumably hoped to set up. The conversation ambled a bit with the cheese. Coffee was served on a side table. Wufei took advantage of this rare access to the inner workings of the government to have a talk with Relina about some of the political implications of lifting the state of emergency. Not surprisingly, when she wasn't trying to seduce his partner, he found her to be intelligent, sensitive yet sensible, and an excellent debater of finer political points. Wufei was almost at risk of enjoying himself. Hiro wasn't giving him the extract signal, so apparently his intense discussion with Dorothy about the logistical implications of long-term warfare using mobile dolls versus Gundams was interesting. Or possibly entrapment. It was past 8 when they made it back to their car. "Fine," said Hiro. "It wasn't so bad." The comment might have sounded abrupt to an onlooker, but it'd been the conclusion of a 2-minute discussion held in silence through the medium of a few looks and a shrug. Wufei half-smiled as he slipped behind the wheel of a car. "You behaved. Un will be so proud of you." There was a muttered comment covered by the click of a safety belt. "But we can't see her that often," Hiro added sharply, as Wufei pulled out of the underground parking. "Not every time she comes here. The risk..." "I'll back you up on that. So will Un. I think even Relina will be reasonable." She had admitted in half words, while she and Wufei were watching the end of the doll versus Gundam debate, that she still had nightmares about Berlin. There'd been lines around her mouth that did not belong to a 17-year-old when she'd said that. But her eyes had gained a sheen of peace as they rested on Hiro, perhaps on the back of resignation. Wufei hoped that those nightmares, at least, would leave her now. As one of the founding figures of total pacifism, she had quite enough on her plate. "But you will have to answer her emails," he added. There was a nonverbal growl of reluctance in the suddenly crossed arms over a firm chest at his side. "Relax. She'll be CCing me, and I can handle some of the required communication." There were rules to these things, after all, and he was sure Relina would have a much better grasp of them than he ever could. A woman did not privately email her one-time crush without CCing the guy's... partner. Right. "Damn. You made me agree to it," Hiro groused, misunderstanding Wufei's small sigh. "That's not it. I was thinking about something else. We're going to have to somehow let people know about us. You realize that, right?" "Why?" Hiro asked, with barely any curiosity and zero defensiveness. Wufei was preemptively feeling enough for both of them.
to avoid getting set up on double dates with barely pardoned war criminals, for starters, and because La Catalonia will find ways of letting everybody in ESUN know sooner or later. I messaged Un in the elevator already. It won't harm our careers. The commander will make sure of that. But now it's bound to trickle out. So Sally, the old fox, Sanji, Weiss, Darshad, and Armand, and them all, they deserve to hear it from us, not the grapevine. I don't think they'll be all that surprised, Wufei muttered. Hiro's shrug was one that could not even begin to give a damn. Wufei envied him briefly, just thinking of ways of telling their friends without actually saying, well, anything embarrassing or trite. It was going to be a Herculean task. He cringed a bit at the thought of the questions he'd have to field, and a ton of mildly irritating details. But the fear was gone. That unbearable tension that had gripped him over half a year ago when he'd been terrified of outside gazes, tipping a delicate balance he could not even admit to. Whatever happened, whatever was said or assumed or joked about, he would ultimately be okay with it. He knew that because, really, in hindsight, there had to have been other ways of shaking Rolina and Dorothy off, other than telling them straight out that he and Hiro had hooked up. The tentative relationship that had felt stiff and artificial a few months ago had become easier and more familiar by tiny degrees, until he just shot that out without thinking about anything other than a look, the start of a smile, and his proprietary interest. Damned woman. He found himself looking over at Hiro, just because. His partner had relaxed. He had one arm propped against the car window, and his chin in his palm, looking out over Brussels. An autumn moon was rising through the clouds over the old part of town near the canal. "It's peaceful out there tonight," Hiro said, apropos of nothing. Wufei grunted absently. There was a lack of surface-to-air missiles, certainly, but that was about as far as Wufei was willing to concede the point since he was the one driving. The highway through Brussels from downtown to their industrial sector was rife with late-working businessmen in a hurry to head home to their suburbs, all driving with European aplomb, meaning way too fast and aggressively. At least one of them had definitely been drunk. Wufei had automatically noted down the license plate number. There were times he still wished he was piloting a Gundam. Peaceful. It hadn't been said in a happy-go-lucky way. Wufei would have had to go back to the Regency to check on their water supply if that were the case. It wasn't said wistfully. The tone it invoked was watchfulness. They were the guardians at the gate, all five of them. They paid too high a price for peace, and they made others pay an even higher one. They were not allowed to see it fail. It was their life, their future, their every waking thought, their burden and their fulfillment. How on earth Hiro thought Wufei would ever be able to fit a woman, anybody other than a fellow pilot, into that picture was a wonder. Hiro tended to overestimate Wufei's adaptability. And what would Hiro do then? What had the bonehead been about to say 2 weeks ago when he'd started to speculate about Wufei running into some female wonder? What had he been about to suggest? That he'd be okay to step aside? Become Wufei's work wife? Self-destruct? Idiot. At the end of the day, they were all five too dedicated and damaged to inflict themselves on normal people. But that was okay. With true guerrilla tactics approach, they'd grabbed the very little life had left them with and ripped out of it what they needed to survive. And maybe even some of the peace, companionship, and contentment that others took for granted. "Our RV with Sam and Echo is tomorrow at 9, right?" Wufei asked, on the trail end of some thought or other. "Yes." "So really, that's still quite some time before we have to go to sleep." "Hmm." Then Hiro's lips quirked, though his gaze stayed fixed on the skyline. Wufei stowed away nebulous thoughts and concentrated on getting them home alive in the shortest time possible, without breaking the speed limit. The end.
Reader's notes. I apologize for my terrible pronunciation of Chinese, French, German, Japanese, Spanish, though that is mostly supposed to be bad, phrases and names. Basically, anything, if it's not English, I probably messed it up. Sorry about that.
The music used in this podfic is Just Communication by Tumix, and in chapter 22, Spiel mit mir by Rammstein. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening!